baskets and gourmet boxed lunches throughout the Champaign-Urbana area.
It's 12:30, a sunny day with a high of 78 in our forecast, 73 right now in Friends Plaza. And meteorologist Ed Keyes will be along with details on the weather. After AM 580 News at 12:30, here's Tom Rogers.
Thanks, Jay. Good afternoon. An Illinois lawmaker says no matter what the final budget may show, he expects one state prison will close in the next year and another one will fully open. What would be good for the village of Thompson could be just the opposite for the city of Pontiac. The Illinois Department of Corrections has announced it wants to close the maximum security Pontiac prison and shift the inmates and the jobs to northwestern Illinois, to an unfinished prison at Thompson. Democratic Senator Mike Jacobs says despite separate House and Senate budget plans that show no changes to the prison system, he expects the agency will move forward with its recommendation.
The department has the wherewithal to make these decisions internally. They have money appropriated. How they use that money is, you know, always subjective. But I believe that the director will do what he said he's going to do, and that's to close Pontiac and to open Thompson.
The department previously said the shift would save the state money, as Thompson is newer and considered more efficient. Those who work at Pontiac would be offered transfers to Thompson. Pontiac leaders are still lobbying to keep the facility in their city open. Proposals with wide-ranging support in the Illinois legislature have been caught in a trap. As Amanda Vinicky reports, a battle between the governor, the Senate president, and the House speaker is why those measures are in jeopardy.
One example that sticks out to Republican Senator Dale Ryder of Mattoon would give employers incentives for hiring the disabled. It failed to make it through the Senate, not because senators didn't like the idea.
Because we've got, quite frankly, a couple leaders in the majority party who are more concerned with sending messages back and forth to one another as opposed to sending legislation back and forth that gets signed by the governor.
It's an issue that's been festering for a while. It begins with Governor Rob Blagojevich's insistence on expanding health care without lawmakers' approval. To ensure that doesn't happen again, House Speaker Mike Madigan inserted language into more than 100 bills that takes authority away from the governor. He says it protects the legislature's interests from being overridden. But in most cases, the Senate's refusing to go along, and that's making casualties out of many proposals. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Witnesses say two Chicago taxi cab drivers were arguing this morning just before one of the drivers lost control of his cab and hit two pedestrians. The out-of-control cab suddenly moved in reverse and jumped a curb during morning rush hour near Union Station. Chicago Fire Department spokesman Joe Roccasalva says the crash sent the cabbie and two pedestrians to hospitals in serious to critical condition. A hospital spokeswoman says one victim is now in good condition. Updated conditions were not available on the others. A witness, Skylar Pepin, says the cabbie had gotten into some type of dispute with another cab driver shortly before the accident. Pepin says that's when the cab suddenly reversed and hit a light pole. Two widows from Kentucky are suing the government over surgical care they say killed their husbands at a Veterans Affairs hospital in southern Illinois. Both federal lawsuits filed on behalf of the widows of Robert Shank and James Marshall name only the U.S. government. Both men were patients of surgeon Jose Vesaga Mendez at the VA facility in Marion. He resigned last year just 3 days after Shank bled to death after gallbladder surgery. The complaint says Marshall died last June of a blood infection 8 days after Vesaga Mendez performed a lymph node biopsy. Katrina Shank seeks $12 million in damages. Darla Marshall seeks $10 million. The Associated Press is still pursuing comment from the VA. A hotel in downtown Springfield is making some changes to appeal to potential buyers. The Abraham Lincoln Hotel will be put on the auction block this year. State loans financed the construction of the hotel back in the 80s. Most of that loan was never paid back, so the state took the title of the hotel earlier this year. Sarah Wojcicki, a spokesperson for the state treasurer, says the biggest complaint among guests is the mattresses and the bedding at the Abe Lincoln Hotel. She says some of the mattresses have been in the hotel for nearly a quarter of the century, and she says the improvements are similar to selling a house.
You know, a lot of times you'll redo the bathroom or clean up, you know, the floors, maybe do some repainting. You're just kind of sprucing it up, putting a little bit of investment in, so when a potential buyer comes by, you know, that it may look a little bit better to them.
More than $150,000 in new bedding will be replaced in about 200 rooms. Other improvements will be made in the hotel's main lobby. Wojcicki says the old mattresses may be donated to charity. Hillary Rodham Clinton's presidential campaign has paid nearly $20,000 of its debt to Indiana University for the events it held on the Bloomington campus. As of last week, the Clinton campaign owed about $55,000 to IU for equipment, security, and other costs surrounding visits by Hillary Clinton, former President Bill Clinton, and their daughter Chelsea leading up to Indiana's May 6th primary. IU spokesman Larry McIntyre says school officials have been in contact with the Clinton campaign and been assured that it intends to pay the remaining $35,000. Barack Obama's campaign has already paid the $108,000 it owed IU for two events at Assembly Hall, a rally featuring the Illinois senator and a concert by Dave Matthews. Our next report of AM 580 News is at 2:30. I'm Tom Rogers.
Programs on WILL AM are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, presenting the Summer Studio Theater Company with performances of Tally's Folly, The Turn of the Screw, and The Last 5 Years, beginning on June 13th. More information is at KrannertCenter.com.
It's coming up on 12:36, and our chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser, joins us for an in-depth look at weather. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Jay.
Well, is today the quiet before the storm?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I just sent an email out to you.
Uh-oh.
And to the radio station.